So give us the rant on Thanksgiving.
All right, we're going to start with this shit. All right, you guys.
All right. All right, everybody gather around.
I'm so sick of people telling me what I'm allowed to watch and when I'm allowed to watch it. I want to watch fucking Christmas movies, god damn it. And guess what? I am.
Yeah.
Because we have such little joy happening in the world right now. That if something brings you joy, anything, not just Christmas related, and people give you shit for it, yo, just fuck them. Like, enjoy your shit. I feel like Thanksgiving is not like, Thanksgiving has morphed from what it once was, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, shirts with turkeys on them. There's Christmas tree shirts, mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And Thanksgiving once was about us becoming a nation, sort of.
And mostly, like, to show that, hey, look, we're on good terms with the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Sure, we genocide and all that, but
we came together for a meal one time. No, so totally. And now it's morphed into a lot more, right? It's all about being thankful for your family and time that you have together. And it's really the start of the holiday season. So to me, Thanksgiving is actually like a really wonderful holiday that happens in the middle of Christmas season. I prefer to be more like Canada and Germany and other countries where I start like feeling Christmassy after Halloween is over. Now, I don't think you should ever have anything Christmas related happening before Halloween because that's fall time.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work in retail.
Well, Halloween was its own thing anyway.
Yeah, and Halloween is very much its own thing, but Thanksgiving, it's like, to me, it's just something that happens during Christmas time.
Christmas season.
Yeah. I used to, like, not let myself watch or do Christmas-related things during this time of year
because
I didn't want
people's
the taboo.
Landmark. Yeah.
But now, I mean, I'm still not really listening to Christmas music. That, because I'll get annoyed with it if I start now.
Because there's only like 5 songs.
Yeah, it's not that many songs, and they're very similarly, they all have the same words in them. And so I definitely would rather not do that until after Thanksgiving. But I say, like, if you're tired and you're like feeling down, and the thing that's going to bring you happiness is a Christmas movie with like the same plot happening in every single movie, because that's all that they are, really.
And you're talking about a specific kind of Christmas movie there.
Yeah, Hallmark. Yeah. Or Lifetime. I prefer Lifetime. Sorry, that's my refrigerator.
Or Netflix to an extent, right? But they're kind of doing...
I gotta tell you.
They're still the same quality, though, right? Because they're still that crappy quality.
I love the Netflix Christmas movies
Netflix.
They found their gold. This is like a cheese fest. And also a little bit... I'll get into my recommendation at the end. It's going to be a Netflix Christmas movie. But... they can go places that Hallmark and Lifetime can't because they're on cable.
Mm-hmm.
So they are a little bit more bold. True.
Well, that's, I think that's where we got El Camino Christmas.
Right. And Holiday.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there. Like, if you guys are watching Christmas movies right now.
Don't feel guilty about it.
I support you and don't let anybody make you feel bad. And if you're not watching Christmas movies right now because you think they're stupid, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
But, sure. Like, just don't shame people.
But I think this is the one year we can all get behind those people.
I have friends that are, like, decorating right now, which I think is a little extreme. But I'm still not judging them. I'm like, you know what? If seeing a Christmas tree in your living room makes you feel happy, right now, take whatever you can get to feel happy. Because we've all had a freaking year, man. It's been a year. Find some joy, guys. Watch some Christmas movies. Drink some hot cocoa.
And I like this idea of like Thanksgiving because we've officially kind of reformed Columbus Day, it feels like. Totally. This was the first year I felt really good about Columbus Day because I didn't really feel, at least in my circle anyway. I don't know. Like, I didn't feel like people really broadcasting Happy Columbus Day this time around. This time it really was, everybody was in unison saying Happy, I think, what are we calling it now?
Indigenous people's
awareness? Like, maybe not even that, but I think Indigenous People's Day.
And I will say the same thing, too. Yeah.
I feel like we all got behind it. And I was like, see, we can fucking do it, people. So, yeah, I would, I'd be in full support of that. Because Thanksgiving feels, because it felt like you always had to choose between Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. Like, right? Like,
right. And why not?
Or do some people go all out on both? And if that's the case, God help you. Because, well, I guess it's just a month in between dinners, essentially.
Yeah, I love...
two big dinners to have in a row, though.
Yeah, our family, for those of you that don't know, we like to do a really big Thanksgiving. And I wouldn't even say it's like a dinner for us. It's like a midday, because we're trying to accommodate everybody with their separate families. We're a big family. Mm-hmm. So we always do it like 3, 4 p.m. And then for Christmas, we always do a big Christmas morning in our house. Mm-hmm. And so we do like stockings in the morning, and sometimes we'll have cinnamon rolls or breakfast. Yeah,
I will say, like, I mean, I loved our Christmases and everything, but I remember I liked having the, cause we had two families, right?
Yeah.
You always spend Christmases with two families usually. Well, the evening would be spent at the other side of our family and having dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were the family, like, they would go out, like, there was plenty of food.
Oh my gosh,
it was always
so
good.
So much good food there, but
when we grew up and, like, started distancing ourselves from that side of the family, I missed that, because they did dinner right. We don't do the dinner, so I don't like just our Christmas. I liked having the
you
two
like
Christmases.
To have the separation. Yeah, because... Yeah, Josh and I, like, his family, we usually do Christmas Eve dinner. And then we do Christmas morning with our family.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's why you had to do it. Yeah.
It is a nice way to do it, honestly. Yesterday Josh and I closed on our first house. We're buying a house, which is very exciting. And I'm really looking forward to, like, hosting. I'm a hostess. I'm looking forward to, like, hosting the family dinners at my house.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this will be good.
It's going to be good.
Good location.
It's going to be a good location. It's a nice big space. And we could maybe try to do a Christmas dinner next year.
Oh, fuck,
like,
yeah.
A big one like that.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'd be fun.
Hell yeah.
Super
I'll help
fun.
Out with that.
Hell
no,
yeah.
That's, yeah, we'll talk. I don't know. Since we're getting into the Christmas season, we'll be talking about more of our Christmas traditions.
And we want to know about your guys' Christmas traditions.
Definitely.
Let us know.
Hi there. Hey,
hi,
how's it going? Hey, we haven't done that in a while. Gosh, you know, today is the day to kind of reminisce about little things that we used to do that we don't so much do anymore and stuff like that. And you know why? Because it is our 1 year anniversary.
Happy anniversary,
Casey.
Happy anniversary, Jacob. Happy
hey, we just introduced
birthday.
Ourselves.
Yeah,
this
we did.
This is our podcast, by the way. We are related. Still related. Still
we
related.
Are.
Even to this day.
Crazy.
And remember, like, that's another thing to remember. Remember when that joke started happening and I just couldn't let it go?
I love it.
And it's still around
it's
today.
Thing. Yeah. It's our thing, man.
Welcome to the anniversary special of
Disney Channel Surfers.
Yeah. Well, we ride the waves of nostalgia. Revisiting some of our favorite Disney classics from our youths. And, I mean, sometimes it's movies, sometimes it's TV related, sometimes it's new material, sometimes it's old.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do a whole summer of sequels. Remember that?
Yikes.
And we frequently talk about it because, man, we got to get away from that. We got to start accumulating more fodder.
Yeah, that was rough.
that was our last big one. And then we've since been doing some commentary tracks here and there, bonuses. And now we're back to a theme again. Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, we're super excited. I'm super excited. Obviously, from my rants, you guys can tell I love Christmas. And I'm super excited.
Do you remember when we used to do those cold openings?
I keep going like, oh my God, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, I was in the office like working, and now I've but now I'm living like sort of a little bit of a Groundhog Day life. And so you feel like it's sort of a never ending
story.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, it does feel longer. And I don't know if it would have, if we would have just kept our lives the normal, you know, we're finding our new normal, but,
new normal.
Yep.
Man. And can barely even remember how it even all started. Like, it was just a whim, essentially.
We had been talking about it for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then we just had to, like, narrow it down on the theme.
Mm-hmm. And Disney, then... like, it had to be something big umbrella. Like, what do we feel like we have authority to talk about?
Right.
I needed something movie related. Yes. Just because that's me.
Mm-hmm.
In case you didn't give a fuck.
No, I love podcasts, and I was excited to hang out with Jacob more and just do more stuff together. And
Disney Plus was coming up, so it felt like it was a good way
totally
to go.
Totally perfect. Yeah, I'm so happy that we did it. And it did happen so fast once we started.
Exactly.
Like, well, getting the stuff and stuff, it just happened so quick.
We were learning on our feet.
Dude, we totally were. It was awesome.
So that's why some of the earlier episodes, I usually tell people to skip just because we're learning.
Same.
But honestly,
most of the DCOMs. But we did hit a golden streak of those DCOMs that were really good.
And then we just got burned out. There was no way. Like, I listened to this podcast called I've mentioned it before, Inside the Disney Vault. They're on DCOMs, and I don't envy them, actually. I hope, I'm wondering, I want to email them soon and be like, hey, just wondering, are you guys... for real doing this? Are you really doing all of the DCOMs? Because let me say, as a fan of the podcast, please don't. Because they just, let's see, what did they just get done doing? They just got done with Double Teamed and Cadet Kelly. So we're almost out. I know, we've still got a few more good ones, I think, in us, but they're on the way out.
I remember
they
when
get bad.
We started this podcast, we thought we would do all of the
all
DCOMs.
All of the DCOMs.
And then into them and we were like,
no way.
Because we haven't, when they weren't on Disney Plus, think about it. They weren't streamable, really. The only time you saw them again is if they replayed them on the Disney Channel. So we forgot, you only have the good memories in your head of them.
Yeah.
And the really bad ones.
Yeah.
And then when you watch them, you're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I will say it's remarkable, how great some of those young kid actors are in those. And some of the stories are pretty good, but it was hard to do it every day. I don't envy them either. That's rough.
Because we did DCOMs, and then we moved on. So was the next hardcore theme Disney animated sequels?
Was it?
I guess so.
Well, because we did...
DCOMs.
DCOMs, and then we took a break.
Yeah. And then we just kind of did random shit, I guess.
Yeah, I think we did some random shit, and then we decided to do
Summer of Sequels.
Then we did the September of Sparrow.
September of Sparrow. Because I like a good theme.
Me too. And now,
And then we've moved on.
We're
going to
do some Christmas, and then we're going to do what we did this time, which is...
you guys voted.
Yeah. I personally love this. I love this method because it gets you guys involved.
Yep.
And also, it's kind of exciting for Jacob and I because it's what are we going to watch?
Yeah,
You know, versus the sequels, the summer of sequels. It's we had a lineup and we knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
And this is kind of it's all going to be good. We're putting good things up against good things. And so it's, you know,
there's no real loser. And if it does lose, we just put it back in the pile.
It's just going to go back in.
Basically, what my rule is okay. So you pit two movies against each other, one loses, the loser, you can't bring it up again for another two sessions.
Yeah, I feel like that's cool.
Because that way it's nice and separated, we've had two movies in between, and then you bring it up again and really see if people are into it.
Yeah.
If it loses again, then you might want to wait a little longer, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it needs to, maybe it is a loser too.
Yeah, be a loser. I was surprised at how close this competition was.
I was super shocked as well.
Oh, actually, real quick. So between DCOMs and Disney animated sequels, which were harder to get through? That's hard.
I think the summer of sequels was a little bit harder for me. I will say some of the DCOMs.
Some of those were pleasant surprises, though, for the Disney animated sequels was like.
I agree.
Yeah.
There were, and then there were some that were horrifying, like that I thought I would love, like The Little Mermaid 2. I loved
that. Like, yeah, to this day. Like,
I'm still like traumatized by this.
I really remember loving it.
I really loved it. Yeah. I did. I remember getting a doll and that looked just like her daughter and stuff.
You have to understand where we're coming from here. It's like, we do remember loving it. And then to watch it and to just feel like, it's like, no, what is going on here? How did we think this was good? Like, it really was daunting where it's like every moment it's digging itself deeper and deeper. And you're like, wow, it's really bad.
And like, the second Aladdin, which was fine, but it wasn't that great.
Now, those were fun bad, where it's like, one was so Return good. Of Jafar, man, that's like, and then, oddly enough, though, like, the King of Thieves was actually a little better than the second one.
I still love it.
Disney, and then DCOM-wise, though, like, there were all sorts of, like, valleys and
we had
hills.
A lot of mixed bags. Johnny Tsunami was one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorites.
It's so good.
I remember liking it as a kid, but no, it's
I also remember, like, thinking of it fondly, but it's so good. And I also, well, we all know that I loved The 13th Year. I stand by it.
I liked it more than you thought.
I think you gave it a 7. Or an 8. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
And remember that? Remember when we started doing that? If you can tell us when we started doing that, you win our respect. Because there ain't no way in hell I'm looking back to find out. I wonder. It was pretty early on that we started. No?
No, it was.
I think season 2.
Was it season 2?
I want to say season 2.
I don't know. Chris, buddy, I know.
Yeah, do you know?
Do you have it, buddy? Do you know?
I love that bit, though. I do.
Me too.
I always, like, it's funny because sometimes after an episode, I'll be rethinking because I'm a narcissist. And I was like, oh yeah, that was brilliant.
This is funny.
Okay, and then Casey said that was pretty good. And then I'll be like, oh, shit, we forgot to do the Hey Chris thing. Okay, I'll remember it next time. So it's also fun to keep people on their toes that way, where it's just like, I wonder if...
Who is Chris?
And who people probably don't even recognize. Like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, did they do that? I didn't even know.
It might be like a blip in the radar for some people, for sure.
So we had you guys vote. I do love this system.
We want to hear from you. Tell me your Christmas...
Yeah.
Tell me your Christmas shit, please.
Your Christmas traditions, Christmas
What is
movies?
Your favorite Christmas movie?
Disney.
Any. I'll watch any of them. Mm. And then, tell me your Christmas traditions that you do with your family. I'll read them on the podcast and it will be magical. I love it.
Definitely.
And if you want to message them to our Facebook page, you can as well.
Yeah. So the movies we proposed were Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, or Escape to Witch Mountain. Escape to Witch Mountain, yes.
Yep, that's right.
Because there's been a lot of versions of that.
I know.
I was surprised at how close it got, like, because I was even feeling at the end, I was just like, oh, I maybe shouldn't have proposed Escape to Witch Mountain. They're not going to understand that one. Like,
me too. I was a little worried about it because I definitely put that out there and I really wanted to watch it, which it will go back in the pile, especially with the response that we have. Like, a lot of people were
Casey
like,
mostly got votes for that. I mostly got votes for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, I did get some votes for Honey, I Shrunk as well, but I did a lot more than I thought I would for The Race to Witch Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
Escape to Witch Mountain.
Escape. Oops. Yeah. So thanks to my friends for, like, knowing what I was
talking
about, because I didn't know if anybody would know what it was.
Maybe that's what they voted for, because maybe. I don't know, because The Race to Witch Mountain is the one with the rock.
Yeah. Oh, right. Why do I keep saying that? Yeah. Escape, yeah.
But you voted, you spoke, and you chose. Our anniversary episode is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Which, cool.
This is so great. I mean, we have like strong memories with this.
Yes.
As well. Not just watching it, which we definitely did.
This one was a frequent watch for me.
Me too. Well, obviously. We had one TV. but also, like, when we would go to Disneyland. I'm going to move that. I'm so sorry. When we would go to Disneyland, before they had the Muppet Show, they had a theatrical, like, what was it?
3D show. Yeah.
Yeah, a show called Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah.
which we loved to do, and our parents really liked it, and it was, like, a nice, cool place to go sit for 30 minutes, course. You know, because you're in California and it's hot. Those are
always popular.
And so we would go to that, like, all the time when we went to Disneyland, and... So to me, watching this brought me back to that as well, which was, I loved that show. It was so good.
It was fun. And it, as a kid, you wonder, how do they do it?
Oh, totally. The magic is there, man.
How do they do it? How do these special effects? This movie was made in 1989.
Yeah, buddy.
And which kind of makes sense as the movie goes along, as it reveals itself. You're like, oh, yeah, this is definitely an 80s, 90s movie.
Yeah, you feel that it's the burgeoning 90s happening.
Which is great because that's, I mean, this is what we do. This is what we do on the show. It's what the show became about.
Really, the show is nostalgia, man.
Yeah, it's all about revisiting that nostalgia and calling us on our bullshit.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, trying to have some understanding, but also willing to be like, hey, that's not cool anymore.
Right.
We don't do that.
Right, exactly.
We would never qualify somebody's, you know, abilities as a person based on their gender, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unlike in this movie.
Girls. Cooties.
Ew. So let's get into it,
let's
shall we?
Do it.
You know what? You know what they don't do anymore? Animated title sequences.
Dude, this was and that's the what most we get. 90s opening. Like, I wrote that down. I love the opening so much. It's so fun.
Because this was a trope of 80s and 90s
totally.
Movies. More so 80s movies, I guess. But definitely leaked into the 90s.
Early 90s specifically.
Can you name some? Like, I think of this. I think of... Troop Beverly Hills had an animated sequence.
I think of course, I'm going to throw myself out there with this one, but Look Who's Talking.
Oh, yeah. And Baby Stay Out, did that one?
Baby
or
Stay
no,
Out.
That might not have had an animated sequence. Beaming in a Little Baby, kind of, not really.
No.
What's it called? Weekend at Bernie's, those had animated sequences.
You know, I've never seen Weekend at Bernie's.
It's okay. Don't. There's only so many times you can watch a guy get hit in the nuts.
maybe for you. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It's your favorite. But I love a good animated sequence. This was
me too,
fun.
It was fun.
And it gives you this weird music. The music was by James Horner. That stood out to me because, like, if you can't get John Williams, you usually got James Horner.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's what I've noticed. Like, and if something sounds similar to John Williams but not, it's probably James Horner.
That's cool.
Because he's got a pretty distinct sound. Because, you know, Danny Elfman's got his sound. We talked about that with Beetlejuice. It sets the tone for the movie. There's bugs involved. It's weird.
It was super weird. I will say that.
All right, we establish two distinct neighbors. Like, there's a mailman going through suburban America, one very normal mailbox, and then another mailbox not so normal. And a little dog named Quark.
Good job.
Let's get this right off the bat, because this was one thing that bugged me, because as a kid, I called this dog something very different.
Me and you both, buddy.
I called him Quark. You know.
Corkscrew, a wine cork.
Exactly. And I thought, I don't like color, something to do with color or something like that. I don't know why I thought it fit. But no, Quark, because, yeah, it's a science. No. No, Casey, because a quark is a science term.
Oh, I'm a
you
science
college,
major.
Yeah, college Fuck. Bound to person. A quark. Yeah.
I'm in college. Yep.
It's that's physics,
cool.
I think.
Yep. That's cool. Sweet.
It's a cute doggy, though.
Super cute little guy. I don't usually love little dogs, but I think he is adorable.
Yeah.
And then good little actor.
And we get Amy, the total 80s girl of the group, talking on the phone with the cord. And hey, kids, you might not remember this, but phones, were not just individual, like every individual had one. There was this thing called the phone.
Yeah.
And you had to go to a person's house.
And, like, you fought over the phone with your siblings. And when we were growing up, we had dial-up, so you also had to fight,
do I have to use
the computer or the phone? Like, you guys don't know how good you got it.
Really don't. No. You spoiled little brats.
I know. Everything's snowflakes. So instantaneous.
Just kidding.
Don't say that.
No, but wear it with pride like I'm going to.
I love your thing.
It's yeah, so cool. I'm going to get a sew-on patch for my coat, and it's going to be a snowflake, but it's going to be the snowflake specifically from Frozen.
Yeah, buddy.
So if you are a Disney fan, you'll recognize it. And then when people ask, it's like, oh, what's that all about? It's like, oh, I'm a millennial.
Yep,
I'm a snowflake. Right. So this is me. This is my badge of honor.
I'm just going to embrace this shit.
Yeah, because snowflake, what a stupid thing.
You know what? Every snowflake is individual. No two snowflakes are the same.
Boom.
Don't let them get you down, guys. Watch your Christmas movies.
That's why we got to this point. Don't let the idiots have the keys to the kingdom. Okay.
That's right.
So, and I love the phone with the cord bit, especially. Like, that's very specific.
I love
specific.
It so much, yeah.
And she even gets tangled in the cord. That's a real problem. It would happen.
It totally was, yeah.
We have little Nick, who is an inventor wannabe. Look at him in his cute little lab coat.
He is pretty adorable. He's like a little scientific little guy, which I love. I'm like a little bit partial to little kids being scientific. I think that's cool.
Terrorizes his little pet by shooting a laser beam at it.
Yeah, that's
rude. It was harmless, but.
But still. My cats love that shit.
So Amy, you know, wants to go to the mall. That's kind of get used to hearing that because that's her character game, I guess. She
Everybody
wants to go to the mall.
Come and play. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Amy's theme song, basically.
It truly is. I love this song so much, you guys.
Oh my god, Kobe Smulders.
Here it goes. Let's go to the mall today. I love it
she had so to have a blast.
Much. Oh my god, I couldn't love it anymore.
Oh, she's so great.
She's amazing.
Amy's all right.
Right, back to the shit.
So
Amy's fun. I can tell she's like a little bit like, you know, every teenage girl's
self-centered.
Kind of self-centered, and she's just wanting to be with her friends, and she's like, you kind of hear that she's annoyed that her mom's not home and she's having to like
cook. Yes, we got domestic problems. Another 80s, 90s movies trope.
It is a trope of the, yeah, of this time.
Which you gotta hand it to them for being accurate. Like, parents were absentee and not really good at it. So. Mm-hmm.
It happens, dude.
Yeah, these movies are good. And I think that's why some people don't understand that. It's like, what's the appeal of the 80s? The 80s sucked. And for a particular segment of our population in particular, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's what we're really reckoning with, along with a lot of other things. Like, that's, it's like, well, 80, how can you hate the 80s? It's like, well, take a step over here to my point of view, buddy. And it's like, okay, yeah, I can see how that sucks. Anyway, yeah, people don't understand the appeal of the 80s movies. It's like, it deserves a little more credit than you think. Because on top of also being one of the most cocaine-fueled decades of all time.
That's true.
And it does show for sure. But you gotta, we also, like, you can't help but show yourselves also, so.
And, like, the freaking, you know, part of the 80s appeal for me, I wasn't alive, is the music is fabulous. Yeah,
definitely, can't argue with that.
You know, like, the clothes are, they're out there and
weird. And you gotta hand it to them for that.
Punks, like, became their own genre during the 80s. Like,
plus, glam
lot...
rock came out of the 80s.
That's what I'm
like, how
like,
can you hate that?
Yeah, there's some good. There is some good there, yeah.
But 80s, ooh, baby.
Ooh,
man,
baby.
Really. So, Amy's got her thing. Nick very much wants to be like his dad.
Yeah, he's totally down to the glasses. Like, he is just trying to be dad, like, which is cute.
Amy tells him to, hey, go tell dad that breakfast is ready or something.
This is so funny. This is, like, the scientific way to communicate before texting.
See, exactly. Like, and like, you would have to have a crazy inventor dad, essentially, who would rig this up.
Because, like, if it was our house during that time frame, even in the 90s or early 2000s, it's like if you have to go tell somebody that breakfast is ready, you were getting off your butt and going into their room and telling them breakfast is ready.
Okay. Or you would try, exactly, you'd be like, Dad, and they'd be like, I could have done that every time. But no, yeah, Nick goes to summon his father. Or no, they try, they have a little system.
Yeah, they do.
Because they have a crazy, cool inventor dad. He's got a little display in the basement. She just types in, pushes a button.
Breakfast.
Breakfast is ready, and Dad just has to notice, and the alarm goes off, ringing a bell, and he's working on some crazy newfangled machine. Using a blowtorch and other hazardous materials.
We learn quickly it's like supposed to shrink things. Like he's like saying, shrink it, shrink it, shrink. He's like pointing it to an apple. And then he gets splattered with applesauce.
Because it's blowing things up. It's not shrinking things.
So it's supposed to be shrink ray.
Found a really effective way of making applesauce, he says.
Yeah. And the dog is like licking him, which is cute.
So I love a good working class lab scene. Like,
same.
I love, this. I think of like Stu from Rugrats. Like he had his own little lab. Like there was this period of time where we just wanted inventor dads, you know?
Totally.
And I did, man. I wanted an I wanted to secretly know. It's like, I bet Dad invents some crazy shit. He didn't. No. Much to my disappointment. Or he could be Santa Claus. Like, these movies set up so many crazy expectations.
Weird expectations. that's true. So when he's doing this, though, he blows a circuit and shuts off the neighbor's power.
And we are introduced to the neighbors, the Thompsons. Thompsons,
yeah. Yep, that's right.
Thompsons. So there's two, right? Russell? Is that
there's
the name of
Russell,
the dad? And then Russell Jr.?
And then Russell Jr., yep. Okay. Which I'm just going to call Russell Jr. Russ.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that's what
that's
they call
what they
him.
Call him. Or little Russ, for whatever reason. He's not that little.
Poor kid.
So Big Russ. Big Russ. And Big see, Russ. I feel like this character was written with of a jock person in mind, or like a John Goodman, Tom Arnold type.
You're right. It was like definitely written with that in mind, but this guy plays him he wants to be Jim Carrey.
I was just thinking, I was gonna say this guy comes from the school of Jim Carrey for sure.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to be like, if Jim Carrey had this role, how would he play it? That's how I even down to some of his facial features. Totally made me think of Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
It's Jim Carrey, but with toxic masculinity.
Right, exactly.
And that's this guy's game, basically, to me, is just like, oh, this is what toxic masculinity sounds like, basically.
And it is, I mean, the scientist dad is like, as far as we know, not quite like that, really. Mm-hmm. And then we've got this dad who's kind of the polar opposite. He's like really pissed that his son isn't playing football anymore.
Yeah. Pissed about that. Pissed that he's not lifting weights because he's a man. So therefore, you know,
the whole thing is so weird. Mm. And like he demonstrates like you should be lifting weights. And then he like has the most saddest experience.
And see, again, this is very much a Jim Carrey bit where it's like
lifting weights.
But couldn't lift him and like is exhausted. Yeah, this is very much the Jim Carrey sequence.
He wants to go fishing, which I do appreciate.
Fishing is such all of these things are very associated with masculinity. Fishing, hunting, football.
Yeah, I do appreciate that they did fishing instead of hunting.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right.
Because,
hunting's not good.
I mean, it is
you
if
know,
you
do
use
what you want.
The whole entire food source. Yeah,
maybe
I
don't
have
shoot tigers
about
though.
Okay, that's called poaching.
Yeah.
there's a huge difference. No, I say if you're gonna go hunting, like that's awesome, but like please eat the meat, please sell the fur, please use
hunt
the
responsibly.
Bodies. Like just like hunt like the Native American people would hunt. They use the entire bodies of the animals that they hunt. So like please just do that
and have a brooding moment over your dead carcass, please.
Say a blessing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Because it is giving you nutrients. And if you hunt to kill it and you don't eat the meat, like, that's super fucked up.
You're an animal.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm... end of France. Sorry.
So, but yeah, he's just so toxic masculinity. I love his wife, though. She's adorable.
She's very cute.
Kind of funny.
She's, yeah.
They've got good chemistry.
They do have good chemistry.
And, but she's always, and once again, unfortunately, the women in this movie across the board just don't have much to do. I hate it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they're there. Like, that was
except
enough like back in the
Amy.
Day
Amy
was,
has a bigger role.
Yeah, she's got a bit more,
but yeah, I agree.
But back in the day, that seemed like enough. Like, you could feel like that's what the feeling was, just like, oh, there's no women. And she's like, oh yeah, you're right. It's like, you know,
let's
there you
give
go
him a wife.
It's like, yeah. And it's like, oh good, there's women here. It's like, yeah, but they're not really well developed. It's like, oh, that's okay,
that's fine.
Like,
they're there.
They're there. They exist. Like, they're there.
Yeah. So she's sort of acting as the protector for, you know, Russ, because he's like super pissed off and angry that Russ doesn't want to go fishing with him and he quit football. First, mm-hmm. she told him he was kicked off the team because he wasn't big enough, which.
Yeah, what the. Mm. And then we get a look at this kid. He's not that small, like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
he's
like,
definitely big enough to play football.
Let's address this. Like, keep calling him Little Russ. Yeah, I think I said he's not that little. Like, yeah. And so how do we feel about Russ? Has the looks of a heartthrob a bit, right?
100% agree.
That,
like,
hair,
100%.
That pouty.
Very cute.
Yeah.
Very cute. But the way he plays him, which I appreciate, is like
an awkward
like,
kid. Mike Pillsbury.
Yeah. Yeah.
from Can of Worms.
Oof, God. That's a terrible movie.
But right, though? Like, he does.
Yeah,
he is.
He's playing this, like, sort of awkward, like, well, it's because he's, like, not comfortable. I totally like Russ, and I, like, have read a lot into his character more than they're giving me, but I think he's, like, yeah, uncomfortable in his skin. He hasn't found his group yet. Because
Which
he's
I
been
like.
Forced into these other groups that his dad pushed him into. Right. Like, he doesn't like the football friends.
Right.
You know, like, so he's kind of like this sort of outcasty character. Mm. And I do appreciate him.
I like my good-looking people that have that struggle. Like,
me
yeah,
too.
Good.
I really liked that he felt that I could tell that he felt that way. Like, he's a good actor. The kid is a good actor.
He is a good actor. Didn't do too many big things. He is still active and everything. Now, the other brother, on the other hand,
what
so we've got Russell, and then we've got Ronald.
Yeah, Russell, Ronald, and Russell.
Ronald, his stupid hat. I just hate how his hat is folded. Like, folded stupidly, like, where the lip.
It's
where
the lip
is folded up.
Yeah.
That's not how it's supposed to be. Lips are supposed to fold down. Hats are meant
now
to
Now, get out
forward.
Of my lawn.
Yeah. And then he's got that weird panther on the back of his vest.
Yeah, this kid is like...
Ron is the Nick of the family. Like, he wants to meet his dad's approval, it feels
like.
Yeah,
he's super, super stoked to go fishing. Like, very excited.
He loves to yell everything.
He's a yeller. Let's see.
Tubular! Did you know that this is the same kid from... he played Tom Hanks's best friend in Big?
No.
There you go.
Wow.
Think about it.
I can't. My brain won't compute.
But isn't that funny? Like, yeah, and then he went on to do this, and then he kind of fell off the charts, like, didn't do too much after these movies. Yeah.
It's traumatic being a child.
But I
actor.
Remember this was the kid, like, I gravitated towards as a kid, but now at this age, I'm like, oh, he's a little shit.
He is a little shit. I still
gives his brother crap.
I'm like
time.
Fond of him, but he is like a little asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're back into the.
By the way, we mentioned
name.
The domestic issues with this family.
Yeah.
The mom, apparently they had some sort of fight. Like,
we don't really know what, but we know that the mom is at the grandparents.
Yeah.
And
spending a little time apart.
They're spending a little time apart. And so Amy is having to sort of step up into the domestic role.
So
and
she cooks breakfast. And,
and it is burnt.
It is not good. Not good.
Nick, like, has, like, a little...
I actually liked his lines. He has a lot of these snarky lines. Like, some of them are, like, brutal.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what makes this a Gen X movie, is where it's like, wow, is this how siblings talk to each other? God help us.
No, we're so nice to each other.
because he's like, I think I wrote it down. Yeah. I'm on a special diet, actually. No toxic waste.
Yeah, it was so rude, but funny, but very good. Funny. It burn. Was a good burn.
Like, I don't even think the dog ate her food.
No, they put it in front of the dog, and the dog was like, nah.
No, bro.
But he, like, opens up a little Debbie's oatmeal cream pie, which is my
foreshadowing
freaking favorite snack that Little Debbie's makes. Like, I don't buy them one, huh? Because I have high blood sugar issues, yeah. But I, like... As a child and as an adult, if I see them at the store, I want them. I don't buy them, but I love them.
That
I love them.
Ho-hos,
right? That and ho-hos are my ho-hos two are good. Favorite. Yeah. Never been a ding-dong girl myself.
I don't mind ding-dongs, but I get why people... It's because it's that kind of bittery like, fudge. Bittery
and it's
fudge
like more
flavor.
Cakey.
Yeah, exactly. Too much you cake. Know? You yeah. want more of the frosting.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Such a smug smile when the dog rejects it too, and he's like,
"Such a little
see,
it's toxic.
You
man.
Suck. You're awful."
It's like, poor girl. But she was on the phone. That's why she burned the food, man.
And Quark's got a nifty little machine. By the way, if this really existed, this dog would be dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I can just use this whenever I want. Yeah, I'll just fucking stay here and just keep giving myself treats.
Yeah, yeah.
I really loved again. Like, I love all of the analog stuff. You gotta appreciate the analogness because nowadays you kids wouldn't understand. You're not impressed by anything anymore because you're like, oh yeah, they used a computer to
everything
to
is
give us that. And then we got Nick is a little con artist because you had to have the little kids be little con artists as well.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got a friend named Tommy who he's trying to convince to, hey, you know, you bring me a box of cookies, I'll let you mow half of my lawn. Just like, oh, but I have to be somewhere later. I'm leaving somewhere right now. Can I come back later? It's like, I don't know. It's like, oh, come on. It's like, yeah, okay. Twist my arm.
Twist it.
So he's going to be back later and mow the lawn because he wants to use Nick's badass lawnmower that's
pretty freaking cool, man.
Rigged up with the remote control, one of the biggest remote controls I've ever seen.
I gotta say, we have the robot vacuums. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have robot lawnmowers?
That'd be dangerous as fuck. Like a little kid. Ooh, I wouldn't want to.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
But we could have remote control ones.
Yeah, remote control ones. Yeah, okay. Yep,
yeah.
That's
nope,
true.
You're right. Did not. I'm an insurance person and I did not
right.
think of that
exactly.
safety hazard, but it is. You're right. Big
I
safety
bet
hazard.
They've proposed that. It's like. So he establishes that Ron, like, they're getting ready to go on this big fishing trip. And Russ just isn't into it. He's like, ah, I'm just not that kind of guy. And Ron is wanting to practice, like, baseball. And, you know, I feel for the kid. Like, he even makes the rounds, like, goes to Russ. Like, hey, Russ, you want to play baseball with me? And Russ is kind of a dick to him. But, you know, siblings be siblings.
That is. Yeah, that's a sibling dynamic.
Like, no, why don't you go fuck yourself? Like, he doesn't say that.
Basically, he does.
And goes to his dad. Dad doesn't even want to do it. I like this bit where he's in the middle of a checklist. And, oh, by the way, he's reading off all these different flavors for TV dinners. And, you know, Salisbury steak. And then he even says, let's see, TV dinner, one of them, oh, veal parm something or other, which veal TV dinner? What kind of gourmet TV dinner is this shit?
Seriously, though, it's sketchy.
So, yeah, veal in a TV dinner. No way. There's no way they could make those.
Way too bougie.
Yeah.
Way too bougie.
So, I don't know. And he's not into it. So, he even tries, it's like, hey, yo, Nick Selinsky, you do anything normal, like play baseball? Like, I like this idea. Like, I love, like, this to me is a glimpse into the life of a bully. Just like, oh, he really wants to play with somebody. He really wants to even play with Nick, but he can't give Nick the satisfaction of knowing
right.
that he wants to play with him.
Right.
So he has to do it in a douchey way by saying, yep. like, hey, do you ever do anything normal, like play baseball? He's like, nope.
No, I do not, buddy.
And so he tries playing baseball with himself. Oh, by the way, Wayne Selinsky fucks off and goes to his job at some lab.
He's, like, going somewhere.
Pitched to a bunch of a board of scientists. kids.
And we see Amy, like, he tells the kids, hey, I'm leaving, but please, can you please clean the house, vacuum, like, your mom's coming home today.
We gotta look good.
Yeah, we don't want her to think we've been living like pigs. And so she's in there, and she's, like, dancing, and she's mopping,
dancing with the mop.
And she's singing,
I can admit I did this.
I love it. It's the only way to do it. Like, yeah. Best way to clean is
just
to dance and
sing. Just don't kiss the mop
your...
head. Like,
yeah,
I made that
yucky.
Mistake. Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
And we get, like, a little glimpse of Russell, like, or
Russell
Russ, excuse
being
me.
A creep.
He's looking at her through the window. He definitely
I
has
love
a crush.
This bit, though, with, like, he's carrying a bunch of shit, including, like, one of those little mini TVs. And he's standing in the middle of the, yeah, the alley, I guess you could say, between the two houses. And he... is looking through the window and tries to hide behind the TV in his arms.
Right,
like,
right.
It's like, yeah, that's gonna do
She's
it.
She's gonna see you're holding it. Yeah. No, it was cute though. I was like, oh, he's a little crush.
Big
on
Russ
her.
Notices and is just like, I see what's happening here.
And he's a tool. Yep.
Totes tool.
So then,
it's like, what a weird family. Like, that's a line that keeps getting said throughout this movie.
Right.
What a weird
How
family.
How unusual.
And as Ron is playing baseball with himself, he accidentally hits it out of the park and right through the window of the Selinsky house, and he's gonna bail.
Yeah.
But he gets caught.
Yeah.
Gets caught by little Russ.
That's right.
And he's like, all right, come on. Nope, we're going over there. Nope, get over here.
Yep, let's go.
And I love him the whole time. He's like, I didn't do it.
Buddy, you got a baseball
It's like, dude,
bat,
I caught you red-handed.
Like, yeah, it was you.
Like, come on, Russ, I'm your brother.
I also like that his brother was, like, teaching him responsibility.
Yeah.
You need to own your actions. And, like, it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't malicious. Like,
nope.
Just say you're sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll go from there. And
yeah.
I like how he insists, like, you tell him or I'll tell him. Uh-huh. He's like, oh, okay. You tell him.
Yep, exactly.
So, I love how people, like, try to bring that up as ultimatum where it's not really. It's just like, oh, you're going to do the work for me? Oh, well.
Cool.
What, am I supposed to have integrity here? No,
yeah,
you do
nope,
it.
I'm letting you handle it.
So Amy answers the door, Nick's there, you know, and Russ is like, oh, hi. Like,
yeah, turns into like
my
a
brother,
bumbling.
Like, totally, like, hit a baseball through your window, and you wanted to say something, didn't you, Ron? It's like, yeah, if your stupid house wasn't so close, like, oh, blame the house.
Blame the distance between the homes.
And Nick is like, you're going to have to pay for that. And Amy's like, you know, just go get the baseball and get him out of here.
Yeah, and so...
Nick, not now, Nick. I need to beat at the mall. Like,
yeah, she's very obsessed with
very
the mall.
Much wants to go to
so the mall. Then we get a glimpse of Dad at the office or the place.
Pitching to the scientists. Essentially, so this is what counts for science. Molecules are composed of whatever.
Yeah, they were saying a lot of science-y words.
Density, and like I understood that. So yeah... teachers like to illustrate this in class by taking a can of Pepsi and a can of Diet Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
They put it in a tank. What is it? The regular Pepsi sinks. Diet Pepsi stays afloat. And then they're like, why is this? And you try to explain. It's like, well, diet has less. It's like, no, they're the same, you know, exact amounts.
Same
like
weight.
It's the same
uh-huh.
weight and everything like that. So how do you explain it? And the answer is density. It's a lesson in density because something can be really small and weigh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you run into that, and then sometimes you... And basically what Selinsky is doing is reducing that space.
Right.
Getting rid of the air in between. It's particularly going to be used for storage purposes, which, when you look at it that way, that would be a useful thing.
That's kind of fun.
But these
Think
scientists
about how much
are...
money we would save renting storage units.
Right. But scientists point out they're laughing him out of the room. And they're just like, this isn't possible. You know, are you saying that size is relative? It's
and
like, sure.
One of them has a good burn. He says, the only thing you have managed to shrink is the size of this audience.
Gentlemen, I'm going to lunch. I love the way he says lunch.
So good.
It is the most douchey thing. And then there's always the one guy in the room just like, I believe you.
You're going to do it, buddy.
I believe you. Don't worry, Selinsky. Just stick to it. And you expect this guy to play a much bigger part?
No.
Does not.
We never see
There's a few moments like this.
Yeah.
So we move on from that. Nick and Ron are going to get the baseball. the baseball, when it crashed in through the window, like kind of activated the machine.
It did, yeah.
And it blocks this laser. And the machine starts like kind of acting on its own, and it totally shrinks like a couple of couches. And then Nick and Ron show up, and it shrinks them.
Yeah, buddy.
And then Amy and Russ start to get tired of waiting
for those two.
Where
the hell are they?
So they head upstairs. Shrink machine shrinks them too, and then decides, you know what? That's enough shrinking for today.
And shuts up. The dad comes home, and he's feeling really discouraged. He's feeling really upset. And beats the shit out of his machine.
You know, because that's how you solve your problems, kids. Yeah. Like, see, this is the one moment where Wayne Szalinski shows a little bit of that toxic masculinity, where it's just like, I'm so frustrated, I'm just going to take it out on this object. Don't do that. Actually, I mean, I get it. Like, we all have our moments of frustration. We've all thrown the game controller and then quickly realized, like, shit.
No. Yeah.
But this big machine, he totally breaks it up a bit. But meanwhile, the kids
literally
have been shrunk.
Like pieces of metal are like flying through the room and glass. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
The kids have been shrunk, by the way.
Yeah, and the couch, and they're like chilling next to the dad's thinking couch is what they call it.
So this is where the movie shows what's impressive about it. The sets. It was all about the sets.
Yeah.
And it's very strategic how they do it. Like, mm-hmm. they knew that they couldn't do full-on profile shots all the time because mm-hmm. that would require us to show the depth. So they keep doing, like, slightly angled downward shots.
Yeah.
So all we see is the ground and stuff like that. So Wayne breaks the machine, but then decides, like, oh, fuck, I made a mess. I gotta clean this up now, too.
This was scary.
And starts to sweep up the kids. Now, this would be freaky. Sweeps up his own kids. And by the way, this establishes what this movie is mostly about, which is putting kids in peril at all times.
Right.
It's a kids in peril movie. And we really liked these in the 90s. Once again, like, that's why we're so fucked up.
Yeah, buddy.
Is because that they just kept showing us movies where it's kids in peril. Like, same with The Witches, man. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and Dennis the Menace. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're not good, Christopher Lloyd will come at you with
a switchblade.
And so, sweeps him up, sets him outside.
Puts him in the garbage.
And like, see, like, isn't that horrifying thought? It's like, yeah, my dad swept me up, like, into the garbage.
Yeah. Really fucked up. And they're like screaming for him, but he can't hear them. They're like they're so tiny.
But anyway, regardless, like, the rules we're going with are like loud sound, like, is deafening to them. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Yeah.
And it holds up that we wouldn't be able to hear them. That's fine.
Yeah, that makes sense. A Quark can hear them, though.
Yeah, because dogs
He's
have three ears.
Yeah.
Ronald used his little pocket knife to cut a hole into the trash bag. And they step out into the backyard.
That looks like a jungle, man. Yeah. It's very exciting.
Once again, this is one of the most impressive sets. Like, the grass, the detail of the grass
is
really
good.
Cool.
Yeah. This is also the most, like, that scene specifically very memorable in my brain, like, of them, like, seeing the grass up close. Like, that's very memorable to me. And also, I really, really wanted to, like, be able to explore a place like that
so much. The appeal of these movies is, like, as a kid, you were looking at it through this. It's like, why did we think this was going to be a fun idea? Like, this whole movie is about how fucking terrifying
it
is
to be
shrunk down.
But, like, yeah, when you're a kid, you can't help but, like, sort of wish I could have done it. Like, I really liked Bugs Land at Disneyland mm-hmm. when they came out with that, because it made you feel like everything else, like, you're sitting in juice boxes and, you know, like,
well, that's basically what they used to have. So in Disney World, if you remember, Casey, we had these tapes of, like, Disney World and stuff mm-hmm. and I remember we would often see, they used to have a Honey I Shrunk the Kids like playground area where you could go, and it looked like you were crawling on grass and shit. There's a little auntie.
Mm-hmm.
Auntie.
We'll get there.
And there's a big, big oversized oatmeal cookie and stuff like that. And they had like a slide. It was a whole play area. I remember seeing that and really wanting to explore it. But by the time we got to Disney World, it had moved on. Like, they, you know.
Right.
It's part of the thing about Disneyland. It's always expanding, always changing.
Things are always changing, yeah.
But yeah, I remember they had that for a while as an attraction. And I really wanted to experience it. But alas, you can look it up on YouTube. They've got footage of it on YouTube. Cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool. That and the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids ride, the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience ride is on there too. That's pretty positive.
So cool.
So they are walking around. They're looking at all the... One thing is, though, the texture of the grass is definitely like...
It's off. Yeah.
It's like that, but that's all right. I actually like that, like, they figured that at a microscopic level, you would see, like, way more detail than what we're seeing.
Totally,
like,
yeah.
After this movie, man, you never looked at a backyard the same way again after Honey, I Shrunk the
Kids. That's very true. Very true. Because
then you always wanted to think of it that way.
Kids have to go through the jungle backyard to get to the house. I'm not sure what they think is going to happen when they get to the house because their dad already swept them up and put them in the garbage.
Well, they say it's like, well, your dad can fix this, right? And just like, yeah, totally. Like, we just got to get back to the house. Maybe. And Nick does this little calculation and it's just like, well, if the backyard's only about this big, we're this size.
Yeah,
and
I
like
this.
Like, I would have done this too, where it's just like, okay, you can do this. Like, I love... Math can be cool sometimes, where it's like you have to break it down this way. It's like, okay, if a walk across the backyard is like this for me when I'm this size, but now
then
I'm,
now
this,
I'm
size,
this size.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, math can be good sometimes.
And he figures out it's like
about 3 miles.
Oh, 3 miles? Okay.
I thought it was 3 miles, which I was like, that's not that bad at all. Like, they could do it.
And they made it seem like, is that a 2-day journey? I guess. Like, well, they keep getting deviated, so I guess. And so they start, Ron wants to go home. Nick is sure their dad can reverse the process. Oh, by the way, the relationship between Amy and Ron is interesting, where it's
like,
they hate each other.
They do. Like, they do not like each other.
And I'm not sure why. Like, is it? It might just be the age thing.
Kid.
Like,
yeah. And she probably is like, he's not that nice to my brother.
Yeah.
Mm. And like, you know, siblings are protective of that shit.
Good call. And he's pretty mean because she's a girl. It's kind of on him.
Yeah, he's a little asshole, but I still like him.
And Lil Russ establishes, like, down here, you're gonna follow my lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then a butterfly flies by. He's like, run!
Yeah, it was pretty cute.
Like, what a wimp.
And then he screams when they run into the dinosaur toy.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, he's the scaredy cat. Like,
I love that. I'm like, I think that's so fun.
Amy really wants to go to the mall. Like, she keeps saying, it's like, we
desperate.
Have to get
like,
to the
we
mall.
Have to hurry up so that I can get big
God,
again so I can go to the mall.
If I don't get my mall fix.
Well, because she was originally talking about meeting a boy there.
Yes. Oh,
a
so
boy
that's
and her
what...
friends. Uh-huh.
All right. I missed this part. So that's why he acts all weird later on. All right.
Yeah, because so... she's, like, super excited to run into this guy. I don't remember his name. But it was like, you know, and back then this is totally how you did it, and even sometimes now still people do it this way. They like stage run-ins.
Yeah,
so she's
exactly.
Kind of stage, she knows he's going to be somewhere at some time, so her and her friends are going to run into him at that time, like, you know.
Diane, which is the mom shows
I
up.
I love this lady so much.
For some reason, I always, this reminded me of our mom for some
that
reason.
That must be what it is. Yeah. I find her a comforting presence.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna
right.
lie. It's
same.
So weird. Yeah. I like her so much for how little she's in this movie.
Yeah, right.
I like her so
she's
much.
She's definitely, you can tell, she's the one holding this family together. I
she
tell
is.
You what.
Yeah, so we
comes
kind
home
of...
and it's like, oh, you cleaned up. Not really.
Not really.
Where are the kids?
We kind of figure out, too, that she's, like, the moneymaker.
Ah.
He's, like,
so that's probably
broke,
the problem.
Like,
it's financial problems.
It is, yeah. And she's, like, trying to sell houses, and she's trying to keep them afloat financially while he's not working. When she comes home, he says, like, I'm going to go back to my old job.
Right.
I'm going to stop doing
things are
going to
change
this.
Around here.
And it's, like, so that's definitely the root of their
problem.
They
act like they're
going to
bury the hatchet. So, they see a little toy T-Rex back in the backyard, scares him.
Pretty cute.
And then they encounter a muddy river with a dead bug in it. These dead bugs are disgusting.
Ew, so gross. They did a good job with the special effects. And like you said, the sets. I'm very impressed with it. Like, even watching it now, it wasn't too cheesy. Like, sometimes
just a couple of moments.
Yeah, just a couple.
Russ's contribution. Hey, we could get some rope and make a log bridge. If we had some logs. Like, what?
Yeah, it was not the best.
I loved it though because he like was very committed, he was very much committed. Like, oh, dude! Oh, this is the best idea ever. And it's like, dude, we have none of those things. We have none of the things you just mentioned. So back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
And poor Amy, like she does, she gives us a look like, oh my God, thank God he's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God we have my little boy genius brother here.
Fucking, they try to whistle for Quark, and they're climbing like a thorny grass stalk thing, and they're whistling for Quark and everything. But the cat from next door scares him away, and the grass starts falling, and like Nick falls into a little flower. And Amy calls up. It's like, Nick, you're allergic to pollen. And he's like, it's all right. It's too big. I'm too small to breathe it in. And then he sneezes.
Yeah.
it's like, but what about your skin? Like, wouldn't it affect your skin?
Yeah. And no, it just depends. Like, people can have, like, touch allergies, which is, like, skin allergy. But you can also have a breathing allergy.
Hmm.
I could lay in the grass. If I didn't have to breathe, I would be fine.
Hmm.
But if I'm breathing and I'm laying in fresh cut grass, like I can't breathe in 5 minutes.
The parents start to wonder where their kids are.
Yeah, they're getting a little concerned. The mom specifically.
Yeah.
Is really
like,
worried.
And he's like, oh yeah, and by the way, my thinking couch is missing. She's like, the one from the attic? That makes no sense. How would somebody get into the attic, take your couch? Wait, what? That is when I would be like, what's going on?
There's a broken window. Yeah. The couch is gone. The kids are gone.
Yeah.
I would be worried.
Swarm of bees swoops in, and the bee snags up Nick, and Russ jumps onto the bee to rescue Nick. Now, this is intense, because bees move fast as it is.
Yeah,
and, like, you're the size of those bees now? Wow. Mm-hmm. Ooh, baby. With a human's concept of speed, like, it would be
very fast.
Too much.
Those bee special effects, though.
And see, exactly, like, these puppets are really good.
They're very good. Like, I was really impressed.
These puppets and models, like, all of that stuff was spot on. It is when you get into the computer-generated stuff. Like, we weren't as advanced there, so that's why it looks spotty. Now, it's like our computer-generated stuff looks really good, and our analog stuff is a little shoddy because we're not trying anymore.
Yeah, we're not practiced anymore.
Yeah, right.
Back then it was like artists would have to spend, they would all compete for something too. And so it was just like so different than it is now.
And then this got me thinking. So again, trying to figure out the real life physics of this. I would love Mythbusters to attack this.
Oh my God. It would be so fun.
Because I'm wondering if they fell off that bee, like they're treating it like if they fell, like they'd fall like we do from a tall building and crash and go splat. I don't think that's how it would work, though, because, again, your weight is different now, too. Mm-hmm. So not only are they really small, it's not that you maintain that density, right? It's not like Ant-Man. It's not like if Nick threw a punch, it would knock you down, right? So by those rules, like, they should be practically weightless. So if you fell off that bee, you would just kind of, you'd fall, and it just wouldn't hurt you. Like, we don't have any concept of that, though, where it's just like we're used to the idea of that. Gravity pulls me down really hard. Like, I weigh this much, so it pulls me down at an accelerated rate, and then eventually, like, that's going to be enough to kill me. I think that with them being this small, like, they wouldn't weigh that much, so they just kind of fall,
they're
hit the ground.
They're so breakable, though.
I don't know. Because, again, like,
I don't know.
To us, they seem like solid, like, 150-pound kid and everything, but he really only weighs about nothing, like 0.000 something.
Yeah.
So if I took something that weighs that much and I dropped it, it doesn't break. It just hits. So I don't know. Something to, if you're a scientist, like, let us know.
Let us know. This is not my branch of science.
But anyway, regardless, they fall off the bee and they live. So see, they live. So
they're fine.
Maybe there's something to it. And they're like, oh, I saw my whole life flash before my eyes.
It was short.
Yeah. Didn't take very long. Good solid joke.
Meanwhile, Amy and Ronald are arguing.
As usual.
He's telling her, like, there's that, too. This is a dream, and she, like, smacks him.
She's like, if this was a dream, would this hurt?
Yeah, I don't blame her. Yeah, she's like, fuck, we need to get going. Like, dude, our brothers are somewhere. They need our help.
I can't have you given in. Like,
he's all telling her, like, my my dad is going to sue you guys and put your dad in jail.
Yeah.
A jury would be crazy not to. And he's like, all going so into rich. The little.
And he's like, oh, wait, you know what? I love you.
Yeah. And she, yeah, I love that. That whole little thing was cute.
Eventually they find them, get reunited. It's all good. Wayne has upgraded to, at first he's using like stilts to look through the backyard, which I just feel wouldn't be as effective because you could still possibly squish him.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to be really careful. And then he did like a hammock situation mm-hmm. to where he's got a hammock in the backyard and he just keeps like spinning around.
The dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's figured out like, okay, they're shrunk. My shrinking. I'm sorry. If I
can float over
Josh, call Grim.
If I can float over the grass, then I won't. Like,
then I won't squish them. And he's super clumsy, the dad is.
So he's searching that. The kid, I forget how they
the kid's like, I don't know either, but the next note I have says the water slide part looks really fun.
There you go. All right. The sprinkler gets turned on. And
oh, that is it. Yep.
That's all hell.
Yeah, and both sides are running from the sprinkler at this point towards each other, which is good.
And once again, like, we need more people in peril. So Amy falls off
mm-hmm.
into the muddy water. This looks so disgusting. And then
it did look gross.
Russ dives in after. I think they used turkey gravy or something like that.
Oh, that's fun.
To make the water. Yeah. And ends up bringing Amy to the surface and has to use mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, of course.
Of course.
And it can't be one of the boys. No, no. Or I mean, well, there are no girls. Well, anyway, so he does mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and, okay. Well, no, I did, the sound she makes when she throws up the water
yeah, that
is
was
really
gross.
Disgusting. And now they're connected, and he saved her life, so now...
He's a heartthrob, buddy.
Really likes it.
She's like, okay, he's hot, and he knows how to save people.
It's like, wait, where did you learn to do that? They're white, we're cleaning themselves off later, and he's like, French class kid. And this is a great joke that pays off so well. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And Nick's like, oh, French class, what's that mean?
Did they teach that in
and the two teenagers knowingly give each other looks like
yeah, a little smile.
Little does he know. Hold on.
Okay.
And then as they're walking along, the kids get hungry. It's like Ron says, I could eat a corn dog the size of a truck. And Russ says, Ron, if you had a corn dog, it would be the size of a truck. And so sure cute. Enough, they find one of the only good things about being tiny in this entire movie, a giant-sized oatmeal cookie.
Yeah, boy.
And they run up to it. This is my favorite part. Oh, mm-hmm. my God. You just want all that frosting. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I
always wanted a frosting mound the size of your body.
Desperately, like, watching this movie, all I wanted was a fucking oatmeal cream pie, like, so bad. I already really liked them, and then to see them multiple times.
That's what they're
called,
oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
And they're eating it and just stuffing their faces. They're talking, I guess, but you can't understand
them.
Not
really, yeah. They're so happy.
And they're eating this, and we get introduced to Auntie! One of our favorite childhood heroes. This little ant shows up on top of the cookie, and they're freaked out by it at first. And they, in fact, they're going to be like, hey, we should hijack this ant.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to ride it.
We're going to ride it all the way to the back door because ants, like, can carry 50 times their own weight, which is really good thinking. Like, it makes sense. It's a sound idea. Now, the harnessing it part, that's going to be tricky. Like, they gotta tame it. They got to break it. So they attack it. And the boys try to do it the boy way, and then Amy finds
they
little...
freaking try to it's like watching a bull rider.
Yeah,
like they're like getting bucked right. off and
tossed
but
aside.
She's the smart one of the group for sure because she's just like
grabs a crumb.
Yeah, she's like, what do ants do? They grab things and they take them back to their other ant people. Like, you know, they love food. I love it too. I understand, and they love sugar specifically.
And she holds out a oatmeal cookie crumb and gets it to follow her. And this is where we get the great line where it's like, wow, your sister's pretty good. For a girl.
For a girl.
For a girl.
For a girl.
They rig up a harness to keep Auntie moving. Meanwhile, Wayne is still combing through the grass. Quark decides to tug on the rope dangling from Wayne's device. And turns him into a human propeller and
yeah.
launches him across the lawn.
Yeah.
Neighbors finally reach out to the police. Finally.
Yeah, because they're getting scared. And so does the mom.
I guess I shouldn't say like that. I mean, they've only been gone like half the day. Like,
but still, and I guess it's such a different time too
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays, we wouldn't like, yeah, if you're gone 5 minutes, like forget about it.
Right. Because now there's like instant ways of communication.
Yeah, right.
Like you get in trouble if you let your phone die now. Back then, like kids would be gone all the time without telling their parents and no way to call them.
Right.
But they were getting worried because like the boys were supposed to go fishing.
Yeah.
So they had plans. They knew not to be gone. And then
they even have this little weird scene. This scene was weird. Like with him and his friend, like this was too long away from the kids for me. Like they thought Russ was the more interesting of the two parents. I would have taken more scenes with Wayne Szalinski.
Same.
I think they did. They got a kick out of his physical comedy or something.
But he, yeah, I get it.
So a friend like comes over and he's got like this weird RV and everything, and like
a particular
Russ
wife.
Is yeah, and Russ is you know, God forbid he has to look bad in front of his friend.
It was super like, weird. And he's this. Like, we're gonna lose our deposit, and I'm just like,
yeah, $80 made, non-refundable. Those kids are grounded. Like, wow. Okay.
Yikes.
See, this is a...
I'm not worried about where my kids are. I'm more worried about the $80 I'm about to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I gotta say, $80 for camping is pretty expensive. Yeah. I guess they have the RV. They must be, like, parking the RV. Yeah. Still. But anyways, yeah, we got that little scene.
They reach out to the police. Mm-hmm. Nick thinks highly of himself. It's like, this is really great, Amy. I mean, the boy genius didn't come up with it, but...
Yep.
Ron likes to yell things. Yep. Onward!
Oh, right. He is so obnoxious writing that poor aunt.
Poor auntie. Russ and Amy are getting closer, I guess.
Yeah, they're flirting and they've got, you know, little heart eyes for each
Ooh,
other.
Cops consult with the Thompsons. Ron is typically acerbic and reluctant to trust authority because men.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what does mm-hmm mean? I always love that bit. And they decide to leave. And they're like, well, you know, if we find anything, it's like, all right, what's next on the list? Oh, another missing kids report. That's next door. Wayne confides in Diane the truth. He shows her the little couch and everything. He's like, yeah, I did it. I shrunk the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I shrunk the kids.
Yep, that's right.
They were in the backyard. And cops show up and it's like, are you missing kids? It's like, oh, no, our kids are in the backyard.
That was cute.
Amy
also
faints.
Like the.
Or sorry, the not Amy. Diane.
Diane. Ooh, owie. The kids like or the cops just like believing them and leaving is so funny because nowadays it's like they would be like, we need
weird.
To see the kids.
Yeah.
Like you reported them missing and now you're saying they're here. Let's see them.
Yeah.
But they were like, cool. OK, bye.
They
did and
really?
They left.
Really good with the anti-animatronics.
They did. I was super impressed.
Because now that they've reached the point where they need to hunker on down for the night, they decide, we don't really need anti.
Right. But... Oh, I was just going to say that the dad, Russell, was outside. After the cops left, he was outside smoking.
That's coming.
Okay.
Russ has a weird line where he guilt trips Amy about the mall. Like, yeah, he has this, like... Oh, it's getting pretty dark. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, even if we did make it back tonight, the mall would be closed. It's like,
right.
Wow, you got me.
That's right, buddy.
They try to free Auntie, but he's part of the family now.
Yeah.
He's imprinted upon Ronald.
He's so loyal, yeah.
It's like, go home, you stupid aunt. You don't know what's good for you. Dad'll never let me keep you. It's like, yeah, what would that have been like? It's like, I'm keeping this aunt, son.
Well, aunt's aunt. Farm.
Russ Sr., yes, and this is where we get to that point. He's stressed out.
He's stress smoking. But very irresponsibly throws like a half-smoked lit cigarette.
Into the backyard.
Into the backyard of the neighbors.
And by the way, Diane is in on it now. Like they're both
looking
together.
Yeah, they're both looking together. So cigarette littering equals maybe rescue.
Right.
That's what I was thinking at that point. I'm like,
Smoking kills, smoking saves. Nick is very stupidly standing close to the cigarette, which
super close.
Would not want,
like,
to breathe any of that in.
Yuck.
Like, especially at that size, I don't know. Like, yeah, that could
you
be extra
it.
Bad
yeah.
for you.
It would be like a little forest fire next to you. Like, Super bad.
But they use the cigarette to make little torches.
Right, so. Little tiki which is torches. Cool.
The Selenskys confess to the Thompsons about... Oh, yeah. They finally decide, all right, we gotta let them know. They go to them and they show them this weird little couch. And it's like, so what? It's a doll furniture couch. Like, what is this? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And the mom is like... kind of believing him. She's like, why didn't you tell us this before? It's like, well, before, like, the machine just kind of blew things up. It's like, and hold up, like, are you saying that this our thing blew up our kids? Yeah. Like, no. If we had blown them up, there'd be pieces of them everywhere.
it's a good
Rick
one.
Moranis does really good in this movie because he does the understated so well. Like, there's a the Russell guy is doing it a little too big, and Wayne is just right. Like,
yeah, agreed.
Because this is an outrageous situation. He should be the most outrageous of all of them, and he's the one that's most believable to me.
Right. He's like, you know, a scientist, which are generally very eccentric characters, and he plays them so understated, which is so nice.
Yeah, he's not Jerry Lewis. He's very understated. Mm-hmm. It's just very real. Like, yeah. I believe him. They find a Lego to hunker down for the night. I did like how creative they got with the objects that could be in the backyard.
Yeah, I love it.
And Wayne is like busy trying to now he's trying to reconstruct the machine because he broke it earlier, and he's pulling batteries out of everything he can find, including a little cat clock, which Mom said that the sales of these clocks went up after this movie. I don't know if that's true, but I want to believe it is.
I bet it is.
Which is so funny because it was such a small bit.
Yeah, but you see the clock repeatedly through the movie. It's an image that sticks into your brain. And those clocks were really popular back in...
89?
Well, that's a very old clock even in this movie. So, like, it probably just, like, kind of resurgenced it. Right.
The parents have a scene on the stoop where it's like, why are we shitty parents speech.
Yeah, I was relieved when he finally started working on the machine again, because I was like, I mean, I'm glad he's looking for them, but he should also be worrying about how I'm going to fix them when they come back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they have a shitty parent speech where he talks about how, like...
Man, I get focused on one thing and everything else goes to the background. It's like, your family? Like, okay. Like, yeah, this is the 90s dad thing. We're just like, yeah, pay attention to the things that matter.
I hated they're talking about their concerns. And I hated when the mom was, like, concerned about her daughter being with the other teenage boy.
Yeah, me too. Because, eye roll.
Yeah, I'm like, your children literally are tiny and could die. And you're worried about her having sex instead of her death. Like, to me, that is, like, the exact... thing about the 80s 90s children is like the parents put so much stress on the girl, and if she was having sex or intimate with people, that they were like, that was scarier to them, you know, that was like the ultimate fear.
Interesting. Yeah,
and so I was like super annoyed when the mom out of all the characters was the one that said that.
They
better behave themselves. Yeah.
Like, that
I hated it
off.
So much.
Cut to Amy and Russ make out.
Yeah, they do,
and it was pretty intense. Like, that was a lot of tongue. Meanwhile, while the tongue action going on, we get a little scorpion showing up. A scorpion in the backyard?
I don't know where they live.
Yeah.
But I will say, even in Oregon, like where we go camping every year, there's scorpions. Okay. And it's like, you know, a high desert area, but it's not like out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, so a scorpion shows up. Scorpions, you got to watch out for us. I'm a Scorpio.
That's right. He'll get you.
And the stop motion is really impressive,
it's
too.
It's so good. And
like, I could tell that it was stop motion.
Totally, me too. But it was still so good. Yeah. I thought it was so good.
The amount of detail, because they got the fact that there's these little microscopic hairs that you would see.
Yeah.
And they look wet.
And the color, they did really good with this coloring.
So the... scorpion starts terrorizing, and like Ron gets stuck in he's in the stupid topmost point of the Lego.
So he can't escape.
Auntie comes to the rescue, and one of three most traumatizing deaths of lovable characters ever. This one, the Artax, I want to say it's Artax. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to go with Artax. Artax from the Neverending Story. We all know that one.
Oh my god, yes.
And then the third one would be the death of Johnny Five in Short Circuit 2.
Totally.
So those are the three traumatic, these are the responsible for the trauma that millennials feel.
That's right, man.
So yeah, poor Very Auntie sad. Gets it's stung and dies.
So like the aunt goes and he saves Ronald, and the kids. This is what's like super bad too. Is like they go back to try to save Auntie for nothing because Auntie ends up dying a pretty like horrible death.
Yeah. With Ron saying, "You saved my life."
So sad. It was sad.
Yep, really sad. And they bury him, and they. Like
they've been through a lot together now,
and they all pile in to sleep together, and they sleep on top of Nick. Might have killed him, because he sleeps in so long. It's so weird. It's like, can we sleep in longer? It's like I've had days like that, Nick.
Oh god, me too. Today,
Wayne stays up all night fixing the machine and gets a nice "I love you, Wayne Szalinski" out of it. Again, like. As awesome as the mom was, she did. It sucks that they use these That's little devices. Mean, like they use these little things like they would any wife character. "I love you." Ugh, "That's my husband." It's like, hey, you can be your own person too.
And not be worried about your daughter's sexual activity. I'm going to keep going back to it.
But then
it made me
that,
so mad.
That Tommy kid finally comes over. Now, here's the thing. Tommy said he would be by later. And that was, like, yesterday. This is the next day, and he comes over. Yeah. That's not later, motherfucker.
Right, and also for him to think he can just, like, go grab the remote and just start mowing the lawn, like, not checking in with anybody.
It's true. Like, he should have, checked in with the parents, too.
Or the friend, at least, you know, like, but no, you don't just go and start. It's so weird.
The terrible, organ music that kicks in.
Oh, my God, yes.
Parents flip out when they, so he starts mowing the lawn, and they're trying to, you know, at this point, they're basically home free. They're pretty confident at this point that they're going
to
make it.
Yeah, they're very close to home.
And, but then they hear, like, that weird, like, sound coming in. God. It's like, oh, shit.
This was traumatic.
Again, like, kids in peril. It's hilarious. See, again, we'd play up the comedic aspect of it nowadays. So they hear that, they make a run for it, like, it's gonna scoop them up if they're not careful, they find a wormhole.
I was like, is this a snake hole, a spider hole, and then they said wormhole, and I was like, oh, that makes sense. And they dive in, yeah.
Like, oh, we'll be safe here. The parents freak out, they're in the attic, like, working on the machine, putting on the finishing touches, and it's like, what is that, a helicopter? It's like, no, it sounds more like a lawnmower. And then they take it. Yeah. And this is what I'm saying. Like, there's these awesome reactions from those parents. Like, they see Tommy working on the lawn. They look at each other like, oh, fuck. They run down the stairs. Mm-hmm. I love this look that Rick Moranis gives when, like, they're trying to make their way out the back door and she accidentally, like, shoves him into it. Like, he gives this look over his shoulder like, what the fuck? Like,
dude,
I'm trying to get out of here. It's just so real. It's like, you know, in your franticness, sometimes, you know, you accidentally shove somebody.
Totally.
You know? And they get out there, they work together to stop Tommy, they take the remote back, and he's like, I'm sorry, Nick said, when did you see Nick?
Yeah.
Like, yesterday? It's like, oh, okay. It's like, here, go through the house, honey, it's safer. It's like, safer?
Okay, weird parents.
And I thought my parents were weird. Yay.
Good one.
Nick almost gets sucked out of that wormhole. So the
this
wormhole
is the
creates
most
a vacuum.
Part for
like,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going towards the blades to cut the lawn,
scary.
And it was very scary.
Very,
I was very scared.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah,
Amy, and you have the chain of, like, you know, what is it? Ron's got Nick, Russ has Ron, and Amy has Russ. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wraps her legs around something.
Yeah, again, saving the day.
The propeller gets turned off at just the right time because they get pulled out, but they just get tossed, like, away from the blades as opposed to going through
into
the machine.
Them.
Mm-hmm. So they get tossed to one side. They wake up in time to see the parents looking for them, and they leave them. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Are we ever going to get in there?
No.
Are we ever going to make it home? Nick starts to break down crying. Cork shows up. Oh, shit. Grab
That's
on,
right.
folks. So they grab on to some scraggly cork hair.
I love that too. The detail there is so good.
Right.
And that kind of dog does have that coarser, yeah, like coarse not hair. Soft hair. Yeah.
It's like, go find Dad, Quark. So they make their way to the breakfast table, and Nick gets dropped right into the bowl of Cheerios. Never, like, you never looked at a backyard the same way again. That's never right. looked at a bag. Never looked at a bowl of Cheerios the same way again.
Yep, that's right.
Because Nick is floating around in the cereal.
And his dad almost eats him.
Yeah,
very scary.
Think about that.
Very
like,
scary.
Your dad almost eats you. I would, oh my God, how awkward going forward had that relationship had to be. Good night,
first
son.
He threw me in the garbage. Yeah, now, and then you almost ate me.
Dad, I'm going to not be okay with you for a while.
I got to go to therapy, Dad. This
you
was
almost
before
ate
therapy
me.
Was cool.
I didn't know. It's like, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I'm not mad at you. I just, but I'm scared of you. I have an irrational fear.
Aw, don't do that. Almost gets eaten. Quark bites him in time. Quark is really the hero of this movie.
Quark is the hero. He did. He saved the kids and he bit the dad, and the dad looked down.
And it's like, hang on, kids. And they bring him to the attic. They're trying to figure out the machine, though. They haven't figured out that the baseball had to be in the line of the laser. So they keep blowing up apples. And finally, through a game of charades, the kids inform them they're using a magnifying glass. They see the kids pantomiming baseball.
Right.
So he grabs a baseball, puts it in front of the laser. It's like, oh my God, why did I think of this before? It was just overheating.
Which does make sense. Sure. That's fine. The other parents are there too.
Yep.
And to prove, I think the dad's like trying to prove his love. I'm a good person.
Well, they need to test it to make sure that it works.
So
the big Russ says, you're going to test this bad boy on me, baby.
So, like, okay.
Sits down. He shrinks him. I liked the detail of him. Like, once he was shrunk down, like, the wife is just like, oh, my God, honey, you're so brave.
Yeah. I personally, if I was Russell Sr., the grown-up, I would have had him tested on one more apple first, instead of just like assuming that baseball was really the key, and like letting, they didn't shrink anything before they shrunk him.
Yeah, but he's a man.
I guess
you
know, so.
You gotta make your way. Like, come on, put my life
just
in your hands.
One more apple would have just made me feel a lot better before going in front of that laser that I just watched explode a bunch of shit.
Funny, because the shrink ray apparently has side effects, because after he gets reblown up, his hat doesn't fit properly.
Yeah, that was funny. I was so, like, this is good. Maybe your head was
sign
too
of
big
there's...
before.
Yeah, that's true.
Big-headed.
But miraculously, Rick Moranis sets up the machine and the kids are blown back up in a good way. The kids are back. They all are in this small space together and talking about each other, but don't seem to hear what each person is saying. Which is like, hey, Dad, I just want you to know that from now on, like, I'm going to be part of the team. It's like, no, son.
I want you to.
Yeah.
And I was like, finally. That's cool.
Why? Sure. I got to say, this movie moved at a good pace and, like,
it
you know,
did. I enjoyed
wrapped
it.
Up nicely. Not a whole lot of slow moments, which I appreciated.
True. It's,
And, oh, yeah, and we do get a little hey, Selinsky. And they shake hands, and now they're all
gonna
good.
They're going to be fun neighbors now.
They're going to have dinner together. Thanksgiving dinner, actually. Hey.
Yeah. Hey-o.
Wayne Selinsky is using the machine to blow up turkeys, apparently, and blow up dog treats.
I was like, way to save some money on food, man.
Yeah, true that.
Nice.
They're gathered around the table, and little Russ and Amy are playing footsie, so
yeah,
you know they're
going
to get it on, so
Much
Diane's going
to
have
dismay.
To
yeah.
keep an eye on them. And the clincher of it all, Quark gets a nice big treat, and then Nick finally gets the joke.
And laughs like a little
French
psychopath.
Class.
Yeah.
And that's the movie!
That's the movie, folks.
Pretty good stuff.
It was so fun.
And by the way, this did have a TV series.
Oh, right. I forgot about that, actually.
A Canadian-made TV series. We mentioned it back in our deep calm days because the people responsible for Twas the Night, I believe, and something else, they wrote that show. And
that's so fun. I loved Twas the Night.
It was a decent TV series.
It was a pretty good movie.
Twas the Night was. But Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV series, was
pretty good.
It was all right. All right, let's rate it.
Let's do it.
1, 2, 3, 8.
Hey, yeah. Look at us in sync on our anniversary.
We both gave it an 8 because that's great.
It is great. It deserves an 8.
Because, yeah, we've mentioned it. Like, the effects still hold up pretty well.
Yeah.
We got some of the toxic masculinity, but nowhere near as bad as I've seen in other movies.
I was going to say. And also, like, it was just really nostalgic and fun to revisit. And it's a movie about siblings, mostly. Which is fun.
Maybe want to see more Rick Moranis.
Yeah, he's so great.
Which he does have something in the works coming to Disney Plus. Like something honey related.
Cool. Yeah.
The honey franchise, I guess.
I also watched a lot of Honey, I Blew Up the Baby. Yep.
And Honey, I Shrunk Ourselves, which is not that good.
It wasn't as good. I liked the baby one because I like babies, but...
course,
that's just not We've a surprise
that and I think we'll get around to that one.
I'm sure
keep an eye out for that one in upcoming competitions.
We'll pin it up against another sequel.
What was I gonna say? Mm-hmm. Rick Moranis says he did go into retirement for a while there.
Good for him,
because his wife passed away and he just really wanted to focus on family. So
that's nice. Just goes to show you. I'm sad about his wife, but I'm happy that he took the time with his family.
He's a good person.
Yeah.
So awesome. Well, let's move on to recommendations.
All right. I'm going to recommend the new Netflix movie, Holidate. It has Emma Roberts, niece of Julia Roberts, fabulous actress. I love her so much. And it's exactly the kind of movie that she would put herself in because she's pretty picky about what she does. She has a style, Emma Roberts does. And this fits that bill. It's like quirky and it's weird and it's great. And it's a movie about single people on holidays and basically like hiring a person or finding a person that just goes to the holidays with you. You don't have any actual connection with them outside of holidays. You just see each other and so it goes through all the holidays. Christmas is in there twice, so it is more of a Christmas movie sort of, but it does have St. Patrick's Day and Easter. It's got them all, 4th of July. It's really fun. It's a rom-com. It's, you know, a little more sexy than Hallmark, which is kind of nice.
Cool.
Yeah, it's great. I super recommend it. It's a very fun, easy to watch movie during 2020.
Cool.
Yeah.
If you're on Twitch, check out my friend, who goes under the handle One Up or Shut Up.
That's a fun name.
One Up or Shut Up. Look her up on Twitch and follow her, subscribe, and donate bits, donate money, do all the things, because she's funny, she's a gamer, she's an actress. She tends to do Jackbox games or sometimes Fortnite. She tends to do stuff that's more interactive, so that's why I like to watch her channel.
Yeah, that's cool.
So check her out on Twitch, One Up or Shut Up.
One Up or Shut Up.
Well, thanks for joining us for the 1 year anniversary, everybody. Hoping that we get another good year out of it.
Heck yes.
In an effort to increase our audience, like, please feel free to share us with others. Like, let them know how cool we are and that we're doing this interactive season. So
yeah, if they just want to start listening now, exactly. That would be cool. Yeah. Like,
I think now is a good time to dive in.
Yeah, we're seasoned now. We know what we're doing.
So, and by the way, so starting tomorrow, part of this 1 year anniversary treat, we're going to dive right into the Christmas season. So tomorrow, this is Friday, like tomorrow should be Saturday. Check out our first Christmas episode, which is Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas.
Yeah.
And we will be doing a few other Christmas movies, so stay tuned for those. And after that, we will be back with some 2 movie competitions for you guys to vote between.
Yeah, we're super excited.
Check us out on Instagram.
At Disney Channel Surfers.
You can also follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
Send us an email. Let us know what you like, what you'd like to see.
Let me know about those Christmas traditions, guys.
You can do that by sending us an email at DisneyChannelSurfers@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go ahead and send us a message on Instagram or on Facebook. We both monitor those, and we'll definitely respond. And if we like what you have to say, we'll read it on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, everybody. Yeah, and stay safe and have a happy holiday.
Bye, guys. Oh,